Blog Talk Radio.
Just last week, Yakanakis Omaroro Cypriot House of Representatives president, was calling for the nation to accept it is time for responsibility as they progress toward a final solution. And yet today, as Cyprus Famagusta reports, he believes the Troika-imposed responsibility will turn Cyprus into a colony of the worst possible type. His Icelandic solution is to leave the Troika and the EMS behind to ensure national independence, national sovereignty, moral integrity, economic independence. He may have a point. Judging from the chart below of the Troika's poster child, Greece, relative to Iceland, things are not going so well. As Oumarou ominously concludes, if we remain bound by the Troika and the memorandum, Cyprus, destiny is already foretold and there will be no future. And you can't see this. There's a chart. It shows the unemployment rate in Greece going up steeply and the Iceland unemployment rate going down slightly.
Ever since their peak mark in 2009 when they abandoned the banks.
Yeah. You know? There is no other alternative but to free Cyprus from the bonds of the Troika and the memorandum, House of Representatives Oumarou has said. Oumarou also expressed his conviction that no attorney general would dream of not following through with the results of an investigation led by the independent committee to apportion blame on those responsible for bringing the country's economy and the banking center near collapse. Oumarou talked about the Troika demands, which according to him will multiply and will turn Cyprus to a colony of the worst possible type, and warned, "I would like to send a message to the Cyprus people that there is no other way. There is no alternative apart from freeing the country from the Troika's and the memorandum's bonds." He noted that certainly this road will demand sacrifices, adding that by leaving the Troika and the EMS behind, we will ensure our national independence, our national sovereignty, our moral integrity, and our economic independence. If we remain bound by the Troika and the memorandum, Cyprus' destiny is already foretold, and there'll be no future, he pointed out.
What's that?
I hope that people listen to him. Iceland's doing great. So you don't hear anything reported on the news about how well they're doing.
Actually, it says Iceland's unemployment rate
I just read
as
that.
Of now is 5.5%. You read that?
I just told him that it goes up steeply.
No, you didn't say it was at 5.5%.
What is Greece's unemployment rate?
26.3%.
That makes more sense than what I read.
Okay. But anyway.
And still going up.
Oh, it's still climbing, yeah. I mean, it's at 26.6%.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, you got to get rid of them. We got to get rid of our Fed. Everybody's got to get rid of their own, of this Rothschild octopus.
And that was by Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who he was. And
I don't know, Zero Edge is the name of this.
I never heard of that site before. The article wasn't that great. There could have been a little more meat to it, but I liked what they had to say. Cops nab 5-year-old for wearing wrong color shoes to school.
We read this one before.
No.
Yes. Yes, Mississippi. They finally, I guess it's, I read about this before, and ACLU. Finally, put together enough information about it that they can sue them.
Oh yeah, I remember reading
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Detention plan. What's that?
Yeah.
Detention span. Sleight of hand in the electrochemical plan. Ever wonder how they can pull off these massive? This might be interesting. They have a picture of George Bush and...
Yeah. Well, we can just read this quick if you want. I don't care for this particular guy. So, who writes it?
Ever wonder how they can pull off these massive stage media-driven stunts and so few seem to notice what's really going on? Look at Sandy Hook. More inconsistencies than you can shake a stick at, yet nothing contrary to the official narrative is allowed to be introduced in the news stream. unless, of course, it's derogatory of anyone challenging the party line. They'll usually give a token acknowledgement of the other side and then move on so people figure that was covered and accounted for. It's almost alchemical how they're able to utilize stage high-impact news events, shove across their pre-planned solutions that need immediate, unthinking, unsubstantiated action, and then dissolve the emotionally driven issue with new distractions before there's time to even figure out what really happened. Can we go a little more to that site? I want to see what else is said. I want to see if there's any more meat to this article. Sometimes the best part of it is the first paragraph.
Especially with this guy.
I guess it didn't even come up. So
it disappeared.
Huh.
Just as well.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I wanted to read a little more of that.
That's the end of that. Let's go on to this. Worldwide GMO crop fields cover entire size of the U.S. and then some. And this is staggering, guys. When you think that you think that you get a chance to be organic,
yeah,
you know,
good luck
or
with
be,
that.
GMO free. When you get the entire world is contaminated with it. It says, hang on a second. It says, the amount of land currently being used to cultivate genetically modified organisms or GMOs is the highest it has ever been throughout the world, according to a new report. Data compiled by the International Services for the Acquisition of Agrobiotech Applications, a pro-GMO group, whose stated mission is to increase crop productivity and alleviate poverty for resource-poor farmers, reveals that an astounding 420 million acres of land in 28 countries are currently growing GM crops.
And if you look at this map, it shows all of Canada, all of the United States, all of China over here, and India, Australia, most of South America, and very little in Europe, nothing in Russia.
South Africa.
Egypt.
Congo, Egypt. Yep, it's frightening. But what I wanted to say was, this amount is 6% higher than the roughly 410 million land acres that harbored GM crops in 2011. According to the report, and a majority of this rapid growth took place in developing countries. In fact, most of the growth in the GM crop sector throughout the past decade or more has taken place in developing countries where biotechnology corporations apparently see the most profit and growth potential. According to the ISAA report, if every land acre currently sustaining GM crops was placed right next to each other, it would cover a land mass roughly the size of Alaska. And if all that land acres had ever grown GMOs since the time they first hit the global market back in 1996 were combined, it would cover a land mass 1.5 times larger than the United States.
The ISAA says the area of land developed to genetically modified crops has ballooned by 100 times since farmers first started growing the crops commercially in 1996. Over the past 17 years, millions of farmers in 28 countries have planted and replaced and replanted GMO crop seeds on a cumulative 3.7 billion acres of land, an average 50% larger than the total land mass of the United States. Of the 28 countries that planted GMOs in 2012, 20 were developing and 8 were industrialized. In 2011, only 19 developing countries were cultivating GMOs, while 10 industrialized countries at that time were growing Franken crops. This seems to indicate that the developed world is gradually catching on to the fraud of GMOs and rejecting them, while an increasing number of developing nations are falling prey to the biotech propaganda. A A chart included in the report illustrates a convergence of GMO crop acreage in both industrialized and non-industrialized nations that took place in 2011. And in 2012, for the first time since GMOs were first introduced, there was more biotech crop acreage in non-industrialized nations than there was in industrialized nations.
The world's biggest GMO lovers. Oh, USA, Brazil. This is by rank. USA is number one, Brazil number two, Argentina, Canada, India, China, Paraguay, South Africa, Pakistan, and Uruguay. These are the biggest
growers
of,
yep.
of GMO crops.
And we have twice as much as everybody else as
yeah,
a second.
Twice
one.
As much, yeah, twice yeah. as much. As I mean, we are,
Brazil is second to us, and we grow twice as much.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
A million hectares, wow.
Franken food.
Yeah, we have 70 million hectares or acres that are in the United States, as opposed to Brazil, which is the second largest,
which is about 35
million acres. So it's pretty wild.
ISAA presents this and other data on GMO growth in a positive light, claiming that Franken crops have helped farmers get out of poverty and boost crop yields. But nothing could be further from the truth, as explained by Mother Jones. GMOs have led to a net increase in pesticides use, spurring the growth and spread of herbicide-resistant superweeds, and failed to improve crop yields. GMO crops have never been tested for safety, writes Emily Main for Rodale News about the experimental nature of GMOs. The FDA determined they were safe back in 1992 when the biotech companies that developed the crops provided the agency with their own test results, which can hardly be considered unbiased, and probably huge amounts of money donated to the Congress.
Yeah.
And to whoever was president at the time.
Sorry.
Sad.
Yeah, it is. Very sad. This one is Hang the Bankers, the name of this website.
Didn't really say who wrote that. Oh, by Clark Kent.
Clark Kent. Okay.
Thank you, Clark Kent, for writing that article.
Here's another good one. North Korea's history of threats. So, should we take this nutball
seriously?
You know,
they have a picture here of the North Korea People's Army soldiers marching at the Kim Il-sung Square in Pyongyang for the military parade to mark the 60th anniversary of the Workers' Party of Korea. That was in October of 2005. Kim Jong, the second general secretary of the Workers' Party, reviewed the military parade. The Korean Peninsula has experienced a new period of high tensions, with both sides exchanging harsh rhetoric and promising retribution for provocations. However, the roots of this conflict date back to the end of World War II in 1945. Up until 1945, Korea remained under Japanese colonial rule. But after Japan surrendered to the Allied powers, the land was divided along the 38th parallel, with American forces staying to the south of the demarcation line and Soviet troops to the north. In 1948, two states were established on the peninsula, the Republic of Korea, South Korea, and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea. As a result of political and military contradictions, the Korean War was sparked on June 25, 1950. South Korea was getting military aid from the U.S. and 15 other states, while North Korea was backed by China and the USSR. On July 27, 1953, the conflicting sides signed a ceasefire agreement. A peace treaty agreement, however, has never been signed, so formally they have been in a state of war ever since. The 60s were marked by repeated attacks and armed provocations by both states, which led to the death of hundreds of Koreans. Tensions were also stoked between Pyongyang and Washington in 1968 when an intelligence ship, the USS Pueblo, was seized by the North Korean gunboats. In 1969, North Korea shot down a U.S. reconnaissance plane, killing 31 Americans. In the following decades, the North and South Koreans took steps to ease tensions following secret negotiations. On July 4, 1972, the North and South even settled basic principles for reunification without interference from foreign powers. The 1980s were a period of relative calm, which was punctuated by two notorious incidents purportedly carried out by North Korean agents. In 1983, three senior North Korean politicians and 18 others were killed in Rangoon, Burma, in a bomb attack targeting Chun-Dwa-Hwan, the fifth president of South Korea. One of the captured bombers confessed to being a North Korean military officer. In 1987, a bomb detonated mid-air on Korean air flight from Baghdad to Seoul, killing all 115 aboard. The bombing, blamed on North Korea, placed the country on the U.S. list of designated state sponsors of terrorism into 2008. Although the incidents deeply strained relations between the two states, in September 1990, the first high-level talks were held in Seoul, and in December 1991, the North and South Korea signed the Agreement on Reconciliation, Non-Aggression, Exchange, and Cooperation. Also in 1991, both states joined the United Nations. In 1992, North Korea agreed to allow the International Atomic Energy Agency to inspect sites suspected of potential nuclear weapons development. However, over the next 2 years, access to those sites was subsequently denied.
There's a long history. But I'd like you to go to Hang the Bankers.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, there was a lot that I didn't know about there.
Yeah, but I didn't. It would take quite a while to read it all. 15 minutes to read it, and I or more.
But I
thought it would give you a pretty good oversight into some of the history that started this.
So we've been going back and forth forever.
Most of us didn't know. I mean, I just found this out recently, a little while back. Maybe we found out a couple of weeks ago, but it was a truce. It never was a.
I did know that.
Yeah.
But I forgot.
But you know,
when you mentioned it to me, I said, "Oh, I did know that, but I never would have told you that."
I didn't realize that, and I was surprised because I never really studied the Korean War period when I was in college.
High-speed internet and cable provider. Are you looking for a fast, reliable internet connection? A large selection of your favorite HDTV channels? With 24/7 access to the best customer support technicians, all at a fair price? Fuck you. You'll take what we give you. You'll have the option of choosing from several of our completely unwarranted rip-offs, including internet speeds up to 200 times slower than Korea, at twice the price, TV packages with over 500 channels, 90% of which you can't view, and we guarantee a plethora of hidden fees. Then, our barely trained technicians will come to install your services somewhere between the hours of 8 a.m. and 10 p.m., knock once while you're in the shower, and promptly leave. And once we do finally get your service up and running, it'll be down and limping within 3 hours. Indefinitely. Why, you ask? Simple. We are part of what is called an oligopoly. It's like a monopoly, only legal. See, in closed-door meetings with four or five of the other major providers, we've secretly agreed not to have differing prices, allowing us to completely eliminate any competition and collectively raise our prices to optimum cockbag levels. Because we here at your local high-speed internet and cable provider don't believe in customer satisfaction. We believe in money. Pools of money. Looking for a better deal? You can oligobble down our balls. You're paying for it. Your local high-speed internet and cable provider. You won't like it, and there's no other option.
He's absolutely right.
You can gobble down our... Yeah, so anyway, I thought that was worth it. But, yes, anyway. Okay. They're cutting benefits, of course, and... I'm running down this because there's a few good, really good articles in there. And then I wanted to go to another source.
That's a good quote. Now, that's a quote that I like. Some people feel the rain, others just get wet. Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Now, that's a quote that means something to me.
Yeah. Control less, fuel more. It's kind of a good thing. But I have
on deposit means stealing your money.
Yeah.
Gerald Celente.
This is about 20 minutes. I don't know if Celente's always good.
I'd like to hear that.
But I think we can play that if you like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping to talk about this guy too.
Talk about what guy?
What? Oh, that Texas demanded school reserves and about Holmes.
But why don't we read the Holmes article first and then go back?
And then we'll
go back.
Then we'll do the
Celente.
Yeah. Celente right there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably a good idea. Let's just go, because this poor, pathetic, miserable
poor guy
human
he looks
being,
so
you know,
ill.
I don't know what anybody can make out of this guy, but.
Holmes to face death penalty in shooting. Prosecutors will seek the death penalty for James Holmes, who has been accused of committing 12 first-degree murders and scores of other crimes in a mass shooting in a movie theater near Denver in July. For James Egan Holmes, justice is death, District Attorney George Bushla said at a court hearing Monday. The decision immediately prompted a delay in the trial, which has been set for August, but is now scheduled to start next year. Prosecutors acknowledged in court Monday that a death penalty case involves extra time for such matters as interviewing potential jurors about their position on capital punishment.
Mr. Holmes' defense team said it would need months to prepare, and they are trying to execute our client. Tamara Brady, one of Mr. Holmes' public defenders, said in court, "We will do what we need to do to defend his life." And Judge William Sylvester, who had been hearing the case since the shootings in Aurora, Colorado, had entered a non-guilty plea for Mr. Holmes, but his lawyers have said they are considering an insanity defense.
Judge Sylvester said Monday that his duties as chief district judge made it impossible for him to continue presiding now that a final resolution of the case is now likely years away.
Wow.
The same very present and attentive look we've gotten used to seeing on Holmes. James Holmes appears in court and has he been forcibly drugged? James Holmes' family tied to DARPA and mind manipulation work. James Holmes's father, Robert Holmes, is set to provide crippling info on LIBOR and other banking scandals.
He appointed a new judge. Yeah, those things that I just read.
Those are articles, I think.
They're articles.
So people are asking, has he been forcibly drugged?
We read the one on this one.
On the LIBOR scandal.
And on the mind manipulation. His father was in there too. Remember?
Right.
And where does it start? Oh yeah, thank you.
Down here.
But
he appointed a new judge, Carlos Samor, who took over immediately. He set a February 3rd trial date, but acknowledged that the defense may ask for that date to be pushed back and said that the trial could take at least 4 months. Prosecutors in a capital case must first persuade jurors of Mr. Holmes' guilt. Then in a separate proceedings, convince the same jurors that aggravating circumstances such as multiple victims justify a death sentence. The defense can raise mitigating factors such as mental state to try to persuade jurors to impose a sentence of life in prison instead. In January, a retired prosecutor with experience in capital cases, Don Zoek, was appointed to lead the state's case. The decision to seek the death penalty came less than a week after a Colorado House committee narrowly voted to shelve a bill that would have abolished capital punishment in the state. The vote followed statements made by Governor John Hickenlooper that indicated unease with the bill. Within the last year, legislatures in two states, Connecticut and Maryland, have voted to abolish their death penalties. Execution in Colorado is by lethal injection and has been carried out since 1997 on Gary Davis, who had been convicted of raping and murdering a woman in 1986. That execution was the first in Colorado in 30 years. Lengthy delays between conviction and execution are often the result of protracted post-trial appeals and motions, said legal experts. Because of the delays, opponents of capital punishment in Colorado doubted that the decision to seek the death penalty against Mr. Holmes will ultimately give victims the solace they are seeking. It's an emotionally more difficult for the victims than it would be had the state sought life, said David Schoen, a death penalty opponent and the executive director of Colorado Criminal Justice Bar. It is an open wound that will fester for 20 years. Death penalty supporters said the Holmes case was well suited for the death penalty. If not now, when? Asked Craig Silverman, a former Denver chief deputy district attorney now in private practice. A decision by prosecutors not to seek the death penalty in this case would have been the functional equivalent of abolishing it entirely. Prosecutors have said that Mr. Holmes, who had dropped out of a graduate program in neuroscience shortly before the shooting, engaged in elaborate preparations, including buying weaponry and body armor and booby-trapped his apartment. Mr. Holmes was in court Monday, as were his parents. They showed little reaction to the district attorney's announcement, but some victims of the shooting and their families began crying. Marcus Weaver, who was shot and injured in the theater, said he believed life in prison was the proper sentence, but that the consensus among the victims was in favor of the death penalty. Mr. Weaver called on Mr. Holmes to plead guilty, even if that would mean his execution. Mr. Holmes, if you're listening to a victim, if you just plead guilty, we could all move forward, Mr. Weaver told reporters outside the court. Your penalty has been decided. Just accept it and be a man.
Okay.
Well, the guy looks out of his mind.
I hate to say it, but if he was, and we know they do it, if he was
mind controlled
to do it, you got to remember, folks, and we ask me, why do you think he's mind controlled? Well, for two reasons. Number one, he had this one, all right? Then 2 months later, what do you got? You got Sandy Hook, okay? Boom, all right? And then all of a sudden, this stuff all happens at the same time Obama is signing the gun ban treaty, all right?
With the United Nations,
all right?
And you don't hear anybody talking about that.
You don't hear anybody talking about that, right?
So they talk about some puny law that some state legislature passes,
not,
which is
nothing to do with what the UN and the treaty for
which is,
for banning world guns is.
Yeah, all that's right.
So it's like, you know, the news is totally screwy.
I got
something I'm going to show you. I'm going
to
talk to you.
We want to go back to Salente.
But we'll go back to Salente, and then when I come back from that, I've got a couple of things I want to read that will knock your socks off.
And this is tax on
deposits.
Tax on deposits means stealing your money, Gerald Salente. And he's right. That's what that's all about. It's just a license to steal.
We'll bring some of this, I don't know if I'm
Hello, I'm Greg Hunter. Thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com. Gerald Salente, publisher of the Trends Journal, also at trendsjournal.com, joins us today. Gerald, good to have you back.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Well, Gerald, I mean, the world is going crazy, and I just want to start with the most recent thing. Kim Jong-un, you know, in North Korea, threatening war and nuclear war and to attack our bases just last week. This is a hot topic. Chuck Hagel, the new Secretary of Defense, is up in arms about it. Everybody is a little worried. These guys are nuclear armed. What's your trend? What's your take?
Yeah, I'd rather talk about gay marriage and gun control. I mean, that's all they talk about in America. Why bother with this? Anyway, my take is that the United States is provoking North Korea. They keep putting more and more sanctions on them. It's economic warfare. You know, yes, North Korea has a nuclear weapon. How many does Pakistan have? How many does India have? How many does the United States have? Hey, how many does the UK have? How many does France have? How many does Israel have? How many are out there? The United States is running war game drills all around the region. If anybody out there without attention deficit disorder may remember that the United States lost the Korean War back in the 50s, and General Dwight D. Eisenhower, who didn't want to sacrifice the slaughtering of our troops, ended the war. So what are they going to do, get into another one? Does anybody in this country ever remember what this nation was based upon or have an inkling of what the founding fathers preached about not getting involved in foreign entanglements? The United States has troops in South Korea now. Since when? The end of the Korean War in 1950s. We have no business being there. We have no business being in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have no business starting wars in Syria and Libya. We have no business starting a war in Vietnam. And it's just another losing war that's going to end up in weapons of mass destruction, annihilating millions if this madness is not stopped.
Are they doing this in part because they know the economy is unwinding? To your point a week ago, you said, hey, it's unwinding right in front of our eyes. It's collapsing in front of our eyes. Are they doing this because the powers that be knows the economy is going to crash, and so we're going to have war to kind of cover it over and make it look like somebody else caused it?
I don't think that's the case with North Korea. I believe it'll be the case later on, but not right now. It'll be more economic wars. More wars with what's going on between China and Russia, something in that vein. North Korea, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, you look at these pictures of this guy, you know, under a lean-to with equipment out of the, you know, 1960s. I mean, it could turn North Korea into glass within seconds. So they're not going to be striking anybody. But it's, again, it's economic warfare. The United States is also waging it against Iran with sanctions. Yeah, it's none of our business. And by the way, if anybody out there says it is our business, my suggestion to you is pack up your gear, take your wife, your kids, and yourself, and go lead the charge. Go fight the Koreans. Oh, you don't want to do that? Then go send your money. Because I'm sick of this crap. They just lost the Iraq War. They just celebrated the 10th anniversary. Hey, I didn't see any victory parades. When I was a kid growing up, I used to see victory parades all the time for commemorating World War II. Hey, what a great job the losers in the military did with Afghanistan. Oh, you remember that guy, Stanley McChrystal Meth, the guy that's teaching leadership courses now that was running the Afghan war? Oh, you remember what he said, the troop surge, the troop surge. That's right, all you liberals out there that love Obama, who sent 33,000 more troops there to sacrifice their lives for nothing. And what happened? Oh, I remember Stanley McChrystal Meth saying, as goes Kandahar, so goes Afghanistan. Bye-bye, Kandahar. Bye-bye, Afghanistan. Why would any thinking adult put their trust in the American military industrial complex when all they have done is what General Dwight D. Eisenhower warned? They would rob us of the genius of our scientists, the sweat of our laborers, and the future of our children. And they're at it again. The American military has not won a war since World War II.
And
now they're going to do another one. Yeah, B-2s all over the Korean Peninsula. Wonderful. And let's not forget to provoke the Chinese while we're at it.
Well, let's talk about Cyprus and and just not just Cyprus, but the spreading contagion. Everybody's worried about it. People like Jim Rogers says he's worried about confiscation of bank deposits. And just something you know, I called the FDIC, and I've been harping on this just last week, and asked them what are the amount of deposits. Went through line by line. $10.8 trillion in deposits at the FDIC. $33 billion in the insurance fund. $10.8 trillion in deposits. $33 billion in insurance fund. And they were quick to point out, oh, we have a $100 billion line of credit to the Treasury. Let's get right over to brass tacks. Is this going to spread in your mind from Cyprus to Europe right over to the United States?
Greg, I'm going to send you a link to one of our quick videos we put together. I've been talking about a bank holiday now for a year and a half. It's nothing new. Of course it is. They just stole the money from the Cypriot people. And the way the prostitutes made in the United States again, hey, it's them Russian oligarchs, I tell you. Yeah, they were money laundering. Yeah, not like they're doing in the Cayman Islands. Hey, that's different. Different than Switzerland or Monaco. No, no. This is Eastern Europeans. They're not taking the hit. The people are. You know the controls that they put on. You can't leave the joint with $1,000, you know, or thereabouts. They are, what, you can take $300 out every couple of weeks. Hey, I got one for you. We're not going to cash any checks, but you can deposit them. And they love the language that they use. They call it haircuts. Why, I just got one. Oh, and how about this one? A tax on deposits. Could any adult say stealing your money? We're in the Easter season. I know it may offend a lot of people out there if I mention the word Jesus Christ during Easter, but I'll take that risk. Think about it. The only time that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, becomes violent is when he picks up a whip to chase the money changers out of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
1,800 years later, by the way, here's a cover from our Trends Journal in the summer of 2012. Jesus Christ chasing out the J.P. Morgan Chase, the Dexias, the Credit Suisse, and the Goldman Sachs gang among them. 1,800 years later, James Madison, a founding father, president of the United States, history records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling money and its issuance. Nothing has changed. When are the people going to grow up, stand up, and rise up? Who made this up that we have to protect the money changers? Do you know what I think? I think it was the money changers who crucified Christ, because he chased them out of the temple more than once. It's the money changers that are destroying this planet. It was the money changers that made the Prince of Peace become violent. What more proof does anyone need? It is right in front of our eyes, and the people bow down to them. It's a disgrace.
How do people protect themselves? I mean, do people just go to the banks, take their money out? Do people go buy real estate, go buy gold, go buy diamonds, go buy farmland? I mean, what are people going to wake up to that they got this huge amount of deposits and a little bit of – no insurance commissioner in any state would allow anybody to write insurance with $33 to cover $10,800 worth of risk. That's what it means, $33 billion, $10.8 trillion in deposits. Nobody would allow anybody to write an insurance on homeowners, a car policy. Nobody would. I mean, what do people need to do to protect themselves?
They would in a fascist nation. And that's what this is, the merger of state and corporate powers. It's a takeover. It's fascism. So they'll allow you to do anything they want. You know that in Cyprus, the Eurobet zone, the ECB, guarantees it to 100,000 euros. And they were trying to send it screwing the people now. Not only the people over 100,000, they're losing 40% of their dough or more. They may lose all of it. I will not tell people what to do. My motto is think for yourself. Here's what I do. Number one, why would you keep a lot of money in the bank when they're not giving you anything back on it? That's number one. Number two, speaking for myself only, I do not give financial advice, and I don't care what you do. I buy gold and silver. Have been for years on record. People could go to our website, trendsjournal.com, and there you'll see in 2002 me calling the bottom of the gold market when gold was selling at $275 an ounce in the Trends Journal.
And refuge, real quick, what do you say to people that say, well, you know, the price is, you know, not going anywhere. It was 1900 and it's down, and silver was 50 and now it's 28 or something. What do you say to people like that?
What I say to them, hey, suppose you lived in Cyprus right now, Junior. Suppose you can't get your money out of the bank, Junior. Suppose they just screwed you, Junior, and you're hungry, or you need medicine, or you need fuel. You'd like a couple of pieces of silver or gold in your hand? You
yeah.
Think that would buy you anything, Junior?
Gotcha. Okay, continue with your list.
So, also, real estate. As you know, I live in Colonial Kingston, New York, 2 hours north of New York City. I've just bought 3 buildings on the most historic corner in the U.S., the only place where there's pre-revolutionary stone buildings on each corner. I'm buying them to restore them, and because I believe in America, and it had its roots of the revolution here, and I would like to see a second American Revolution, but one of the heart, the spirit, and the mind, not guns and armies. So I'm buying that as a hedge against my gold. So if gold or silver continue to go down, then the real estate prices will go up, vice versa. So that's what I'm doing. I have hard assets only. And again, I'm buying a 1750s, a 1774, and a 1768 building. So to me, I'm buying art as well.
In your last time you were on, you said the world was headed towards war, and it sure looks like we're inching towards war. What is your clock? Where's your timing of when we'll be in some sort of regional or world war?
It's very hard to put a time limit on it, a time point. You know, when are the psychopaths and sociopaths going to do the next stupid thing. That's all this is. That's all they are. Look at these people. Name them. Cameron? Could that guy fight? He couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. Holland? Holland? Hollandaise? Yeah. I could give you the next word, but, you know, this is a family show. What could this guy fight? Obama? Oh, yeah, he's rough on the basketball court. You got a bunch of chicken hawk psychopaths and sociopaths that are leading the world to war. And so unless the people stand up and make a stand, what's going on in Italy, by the way, Beppe Grillo's five-star movement, that to me is a model. It's a movement. It's not a protest. Protests are what they do in Tunisia and Egypt, and all they do is result in a new boss replacing the old boss.
Mm-hmm.
We need a new way. We have to break up the old systems. Anybody with half a brain and the other half still alive from not taking prescription drugs to, you know, chill them out, knows that the government is being controlled by a mafia. No, no, not the Gambinos or the Bananos, not the Jewish mafia, the Russian mafia, or the or any other mafia, the Japanese mafia. This is a mafia of money changers in the military. All the politicians are just the wise guys, you know? They're the mouthpieces for the capo di capos. And all the soldiers out there, the police and the paramilitary, they're no more than goon squads working for the wise guys. They know who their bosses are. It's a takeover. So unless the people want to remain in servitude, work very hard to give everything that they have to them, that's the way it's going to continue. But when the people start speaking up, rising up, and saying, I had enough of your crap, get out of here, I want to bring really democracy back to this country. Look, Greg, what kind of country is the United States? When people have worked all their lives and now are losing their homes, not only because of the foreclosures, but even worse than that, they can't pay property and school taxes, so you're stealing their homes. What would Jesus say?
Well, Gerald Celente, in closing, what about all these is ammunition buy? Now congressmen are actually asking Homeland Security and Janet Napolitano, hey, what's up with buying millions of rounds of ammunition? What's up with these armored vehicles? Now, this is a real story of the vernacular. It was out in the fringes of the internet. Now now congressmen are asking Napolitano, what's up with all the ammunition buys, the hollow point ammunition that they say they're using for target practice, which is tremendously wasteful if they're doing that.
Again, that even that this question is being asked is an atrocity against what this country was built upon and what it was founded on and what the people fought for freedom for. That we're even having this discussion shows you how fascist it has turned. And that they even have to ask her, how about asking, you know, Goebbels or Himmler or Hitler or Mussolini? That's what's going on. So that even that we're discussing this as a question shows the outrage of what we've become in this country. Again, this is Easter time. I don't mean this is a religious issue, but whether it's the Jews with the Passover or the Christians with the crucifixion, how much more of history has to be repeated before we see it's repeating itself again?
Gerald Celente, publisher of the Trends Journal, thank you for being on USA Watchdog, and happy Easter to you, my friend.
Thank you. Same to you. Buona Pasqua.
That's outspoken. He's gotten a lot more outspoken than he used to be. He used to be more
reserved about
that. Yeah, now.
Cautious.
Now you don't care. This is kind of like us. You don't care anymore. Just get the word out. You know what I mean?
Well, you can see that the country is fascist, and he's absolutely right.
Oh, yeah. It's controlled
by bankers and corrupt politicians. And you can't
help but become bombastic. Become, you know,
irritable about it.
And angry, you know, with people not seeing it.
I mean, this country has so much potential, and it's
squandering.
Yeah,
everybody's got their own thing, but boy, I'll tell you. Salente is famous because he's made a lot of money predictions that have come true,
mm-hmm.
Social predictions. I have made a lot of predictions, too, where they came true, but I'm not as famous as Salente. But we've made a lot of predictions over the years here.
No, not like he has.
Yes, I did.
No, not about money and stuff. He does.
We knew where the stuff was going to happen. I mean, he's a little more predictable, but I was right on. In fact, last Thursday's show that I did,
uh-huh.
It was going back to three or four different articles that I had written back 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago regarding the immigration law that passed,
uh-huh.
and how they came back. I predicted they would come back and do it again, bam, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's what they did.
Right? But I don't
they just,
show what happened then.
Well, they have that whole attitude of gradualism. They just keep hammering
and hammering it back,
and then it's finally just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you oppose it. They don't really care. They just grind you down and wear you out.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. Really, really sick.
Oh, Arkansas hit with a nuclear accident and a major oil spill?
I guess so.
That's something I didn't hear about. Network news.
Because they don't want you to know that the sequester just cut back on the nuclear cleanup. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. I think I'll read that tomorrow night. I had an article that I had about 57 things that are getting cut back on the sequester.
Yeah, education, health care.
Yeah, things you wouldn't even know. You'd be surprised. That's pretty bad.
Arkansas Nuclear One Reactor and ExxonMobil Pipeline both suffer major accidents. The Arkansas Nuclear One Nuclear Reactor operated by Entergy suffered one accident yesterday, which killed one and injured 8 workers. A plant fed steam to cool the reactor. Air detection teams have been deployed to the area, and local residents are worried. See this, this, and this. Only 40 miles from the nuclear plant, Arkansas was hit with a major oil spill. NBC News is reporting that ExxonMobil pipeline ruptured near Little Rock Friday evening has resulted in a major oil spill, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Why are nuclear and fossil fuels disasters happening at the same time? Because the accidents are caused by the exact same thing. Greed.
So there we go. And that's from Global Research. And we will go to another.
We just have about 1 or 2 minutes
left. Yeah, a couple minutes left.
That's true. To the extent that the modern world thinks at all about the problem of fascism, there is a tendency to regard this form as bankers to totalitarian dictatorship as something which happens suddenly and all at once. Historians can remember Mussolini's march on Rome in October 1922 and Hitler's seizure of power in January 1933, but we must also recall that the definitive seizure of power by fascism in these two countries was preceded by dress rehearsals and pilot projects of fascist rule on a more limited scale. That's interesting. I don't remember that.
Well, that's what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm. So there's a pattern that they follow.
You grab it here and there until they strangle you.
Yep.
This is by Press TV, too, so that, you know.
Mussolini's dictatorship had its precursor in the dictatorship of fascist literary man Gabriele D'Annunzio in the city of Fiume, bordering Yugoslavia in 1919 and 1920. Here, many of the rituals, methods, slogans, and the paraphernalia of fascism originated. The stalking horse for Hitler was the coup d'etat by Chancellor von Papen in the state of Prussia in July 1932, which ousted the social democratic government there, ending government by elected leaders and replacing them with Reich commissioners sent by von Papen from Berlin as pressure went into receivership. Von Papen's pressure, this is a long one.
This is another one
that's quite long.
But if you want to check it out, please, I suggest that you do. Just go to
Press TV.
Yeah, go to Press TV.
U.S. citizens increasingly facing austerity dictatorship.
Yeah,
and true. It's a good article because you can understand the history of it. You know, that there were, it happened before and it's happening now. And this is Webster Tarpley.
I got involved with this, and there's so many. Tomorrow night, folks, I've got so much for you. I got some articles that are going to blow you away, and I wanted to get to them tonight, but I kind of got off track. But I hope you enjoyed the show, and we enjoyed you bringing you the news. And join us here tomorrow night when Lila and I bring you some. Maybe we'll have we may have Larry.
We'll have some union news, and then we'll bring you
some really boostering other news. So be with us tomorrow night.
So take care, folks, and good night.
Yeah.